And when everything's going really, really well, he'd look at me and say, "Have you ever done though? This is a peak experience." Which was actually, you know, quite clever, because it had included Nietzsche, but it wasn't a put-down. Because sometimes as Buddhists, we say, it's all going to change. You know, it's all grim and nasty, but yeah, this is a peak experience. So when it does change, how could it always be at a peak? Anyway, right now it's a peak experience, so I'm rolling. So this is very nice to be here. I thought actually we could do some walking in this session, but if I could just introduce the idea of determinations, adhikarma. It's one of the what we call paramitas, or virtuous qualities that we develop as human beings. And determination is the setting of the mind towards a certain kind of activity. When I began as a young monk, I would do a lot of determinations which weren't really couched in wisdom. They were couched more in willfulness and becoming and getting rid of. And after several years of these kind of over-the-top determinations which didn't work, I one day, one vasa, I said to Ajahn Sumedho, "Rompo, I've made a determination. I will no longer make any determinations." And he said, "Sat." Because my attitude was all horribly egotistical. Yeah? But that's the way one learns. But determinations are important. And if you if you trust in this idea of awakening, if that makes sense to you, and doesn't make sense to me, then the determination is very, very simple. What do I need to do to sustain the awake mind for longer and more continuous periods? And that's not a determination to become something else or to get rid of something that exists. And that's beautiful. If you have a determination, "I will never get angry," that will not work. "I will never be fearful," that will not work. "I will always say loving things to my partner." Possible, is it? Probably not, right? "I will never think bad thoughts about my children." No. Because, you know, they're not really personal things, although they're in a personal context. So you could say, I'm never going to say, you know, think bad things about my children. And then you do, and you feel guilty about it. But if you awaken to harmful thoughts, that you can do. You can awaken to the feeling of wanting to put someone down and not do it. You can awaken to the feeling of self-disparagement and not go there. So we can make choices to pick up or put down, but from acceptance and awakeness first. If we don't have acceptance and awakeness first, then we come from idealism, and then we feel very disappointed when our idealism isn't fulfilled. So the ideals of Buddhism are fine, but if you attach to them, you'll really suffer. And we all have, right? We're all probably very good at self-disparagement. I am. Ajahn Sumedho always said, "I don't have to tell you anything, you just criticize yourself." But that's not awakening, that's the attachment to idealism. And that's different, isn't it? So from the awakened mind, I can make choices. So let's say one of the problems I've suffered from is the kind of cruelty and humor, where I've used humor, and I think we all have, in a way which puts people down, and the effect on my mind or others is not nice. And so then I can, like, I just train myself to awaken to that cynical, put down kind of mind and try not to go there. And every now and then I get caught up, and I poke an unskillful comment towards someone. And even if the person doesn't really feel it much, I feel it. So I had that, like, a couple of months ago. I poked someone, and it wasn't a bad way, but it wasn't coming from the right place. And the remorse was really, really strong. And what I noticed was that the remorse is actually compassionate, and it wanted to go to guilt, but guilt is not compassion, guilt is self-hatred. So actually staying with the remorse was difficult. Going to the guild was easy. You turkey Viridano? You've been a monk for 45 years? No. What does remorse feel? It feels like this. And it was actually an interesting, painful compassion. Kind of right in the center of the heart. Whoa, you idiot, no. And that to me is determination. You know, determination to return to the awake mind of how things are. And that produced a really good result. A really, really good result. Whereas the other, feeling, I mean, first of all, one needs remorse. Other one's a sociopath, right? So I'm assuming we're on that in the same page. But then it's shifting to the thought, to the narrative, I'll never do that again, I shouldn't do that. That's not awareness. That's self-view. Not having remorse and being totally irresponsible is the other. You know, I just dump my stuff on anyone, but I don't really see that happening in our culture, in our kind of Buddhist culture. So it's usually that problem of self-disparagement. So the training or the determination to stay fully conscious to the way things are means we become fully conscious of the sort of things that come into the heart and ride it out, learn to ride it out. So even if it's anger or something, to be fully conscious and let it be conscious, but not go to the narrative in the story, feel it in the body, then it runs its course, and as it runs its course, two things happen. One is that energy loses power in the flow of consciousness, and what gets strengthened is the awakened mind. So I can make determinations to awaken to the way things are and try to be constant in that, and within that, then I can say, if the desire to hurt someone with language arises, I'm going to try to not go to speech. I can make that kind of determination, but it has to come from awakening. But if I say to myself, I'll never feel that, that's not Dharma. That's just an idea, because they're natural. The cruelty is a natural impulse. It's not wrong, it's just not skillful, right? So I would suggest, like on this kind of 2 days together, to make a simple determination in your own practice to sustain the mind which knows the way things are. Doesn't sound like a big thing, but then to reinforce that intention throughout the day. What is it like now? Which isn't an ideal, right? What's it like now, being here now, liking or disliking? It feels like this, it feels like this, it feels like this, and it all belongs. And it all belongs. And if you keep making those kind of determinations, that's doable. It's not a matter of willpower or ego or anything. It's not becoming. It's just very, very natural. And that, to me, is Dharma. Dharma is the way things are. So beginning to take refuge in Dharma. So we have these two ideas. We have Buddha, Dharma, refuge. So refuge in Buddha is the awake mind. So knowing. And then Dharma is this suchness. This is Dharma. You look at Dharma as teaching, which is true too, but what's it pointing to? It's pointing to suchness. So this is Dharma. So refuge in Dharma is very simple. But what we tend to do is take refuge in thought. And then we take refuge in habit thought, and then, you know, the whole nine yards. And I was telling the others on the kayaking retreat, when I told my father that I'm interested in no thought, he said, that's impossible. Not possible. It seems impossible, but actually, throughout the day, you can see the gaps of no thought. By what? By just listening, knowing, and make determinations to do that again and again and again. Don't things sort themselves out, because your refuge is truly a refuge. So let's go do some walking practice, I think, because the teacher might fall asleep during the sitting. Too much sushi. And how about half an hour? And do some walking meditation, and we'll come back and see what happens. Please, go ahead.